On a quick personal note, it is good to be back here with you all after being away the last couple of Sundays, first to summer camp, which was a good experience, and then again last week to the mission trip, and I am always incredibly grateful to the Reverend Bob Culp for his able leadership and preaching and worship leadership here, and to all who have stepped in to kind of pick up the slack as I was away. Thank you to you as well. It is such a good thing to return to this place and to know that when I'm away, that I and we are missed and cared for and prayed for. It's good to be back with you today in particular. There is an old witty aphorism I learned years ago that states, if you want to make God laugh, tell God your plans. It's funny because it's true. So often we make plans, and so often they have to be adjusted or scrapped altogether, because as they also say, life happens, and often not according to plans. In the gospel passage for today, we find two instances of things not going according to plan, and breaking the flow of Jesus' ministry and that of his apostles. In some ways, it is shocking that the stories bracketed by these verses, the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on the water, are not the focus of the lectionary text for today. There are myriad lessons to be learned from both of those stories, but alas, we are led instead to these 9 verses that in the grand scheme of the gospel narrative may seem so meaningless. Yet there is much to be learned from these transitional accounts. The apostles have just returned from the mission that Jesus gave them. 2 by 2, they went out, traveling from town to town, casting out demons, healing the sick, and proclaiming the good news. The work by which they would earn the title apostle, literally the one sent out, a term used for the first time here in Mark. While they were out, Herod had Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, beheaded. So that when they had gathered together once again, they were all physically and emotionally exhausted. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Jesus knew well the need to draw apart and to rest, the limits of the human body and the human spirit. There was still much work to be done, and they must be prepared for it, he knew. And so they all set off in the boat, seeking a quiet place where they could rest and re-energize. At least that was the plan. But it turns out it was not to be. For the crowds had rushed ahead and met them where they put in. So Jesus taught them, and with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, he fed the multitude. And afterward, he sent the disciples ahead in the boat to the other side of the sea. When from the shore he saw them straining at the oars, he walked out on the water to them. So with Jesus then in the boat, they traveled on to Gennesaret, leaving, likely still seeking a quiet place to rest. And again, they were met by the crowds who were bringing their sick. Interruption after interruption, plan after plan thwarted. And in the midst of it, meaning to be found. And today we will search for that meaning by stepping into the shoes of those who were there those days. First, we try on the shoes of the crowds, those who thwarted the plans. They are a mixed lot, men, women, and children, young and old alike, mostly of the lower classes. Some live in that region, some have traveled long distances just to see who this Jesus really is. And to find out if he can help them or not. As we walk with these crowds, we see bodies crippled by disease. We see tears streaming down their cheeks. We see faces worn by the difficulties of life. And we see hope rising in their eyes as they see some are healed, and as the words that he speaks touches their hearts. And what is it that we learn from these people as we stand and as we walk among them? We learn persistence born of desperation. Not willing to take no for an answer, willing to travel miles and miles by foot, fight through crowds, to go without food and water, just to get the chance to look into his eyes to touch the tassel of his robe. And we learn through their persistence that sometimes we need to go even further than we thought. Picture, if you will, a desperate mother with a sick child, finally arriving at the shoreline where the great healer is, just in time to see him climb in the boat and begin to make for the opposite shore. She has already come so far, carrying her child for miles and miles and miles. Everything else that they have tried has failed. She knows that Jesus is the one to heal her child, but how can she possibly go any further? Yet there she is walking again, almost running, carrying her sick child for miles more, following the shoreline, hoping to be there when he reaches land again. One step after another. He is the one who can help, and she will not rest until she has laid her child in his arms. We learn from her and from these crowds that sometimes even our most basic needs take a back seat to our spiritual hunger. And they had no leisure to eat. Singularly focused on standing in the presence of the Holy One, they have neglected to bring food to eat. Somehow they know in their desperation that he alone is the bread of life. Standing and walking in their shoes, we are reminded once again of how desperately we too need Jesus to heal us, to sustain us, and to teach us. And in their shoes, or at least what is left of them, after miles and miles of walking, we find our most basic state of being. We are sinners in need of redeeming. Let's try on another pair of shoes now, those of the apostles, the disciples. Our feet hurt too. From days and weeks of on-the-ground mission work, it is exhausting work, physically and emotionally. When Jesus invites us to join him in a respite, we feel like we've won the lottery. It will be so good to get away, to put up our feet, to meditate and to pray, to sit at the feet of the Master and have private audience as he opens the scriptures to us as no one can. It will be good to get away and to re-energize, to watch and to listen as the waves kiss the shoreline, a cool drink in our hand. But as we near the shore, it becomes clear our party has been crashed. Throngs of the sick and the desperate are there waiting for us. Well, for him, really. And in the shoes of the apostles, we learn a few quick lessons as well. We learn that we don't always have the privilege of the rest we think we deserve or need. For there is still so much work to be done. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, someone once said. It is not that the rest, especially that the rest in the Lord, is not important. It is indeed. It is just that sometimes other things, or more importantly, other people, are even more important than that rest. As with much of the life of faith, it is about balance. We cannot run ourselves too ragged, but we also must not guard too closely our own plans and desires, for the Lord will provide. Biblical scholar William Barclay puts it this way: the Christian life is a continuous going into the presence of God from the presence of men and women, and coming out into the presence of men and women from the presence of God. The rhythm of the Christian life is the alternate meeting with God in the secret place, and serving one another in the marketplace. We learn, too, that when we journey with Jesus, we may not end up where or how we expect. The other side of the sea was supposed to be a getaway. Instead, it turned into a medical clinic and a prayer meeting. Twice. We may think that God is leading us one place, only to find that we end up somewhere very different. What matters is that Jesus is right there with us, leading us. by example. We also learn that being disciples does not necessarily give us special status with our Lord. Our needs are not always what Jesus is most concerned about. Indeed, more often than not, signing on as a disciple and an apostle means we are more worker bees than teacher's pet. If Jesus had been more concerned about the disciples' need to rest, they would have changed course as soon as they saw the crowds on the shore. But instead, they made landfall, and Jesus put the retreat on hold for another day. And on a related note, we learn from the disciples in this story that we do not have special privileged access to Jesus. Jesus was and always has been and still is for the people, especially those who have not heard, for he came to seek and save the lost. Mark does not tell us how the disciples felt when their small group retreat with Jesus was interrupted by the crowds twice. But it isn't hard to imagine that they may have been resentful. It is a hard lesson to learn that we are not any more special to Jesus than the next person, but that doesn't make it any less true. In the shoes of the disciples, we learn a hard lesson in patience and in humility. We learn that the demands on the disciples of Jesus Christ are high, high indeed. We learn that this is exhausting work to which we have been called, and we learn that all are precious in the sight of God. And finally, if we are bold enough and humble enough, we attempt to try on the shoes of the Son of Man himself. On one hand, he is overjoyed to hear the reports of his apostles after their time spent in the mission field. On the other hand, he is devastated to hear the death of his cousin and his close friend. He senses in that moment that he needs to get away for a while and that his disciples need the same. But when they reach the shore, well, the people are already there. These are the same faces he had just left. They must have traveled so far, by foot even, simply to be with him, to hear him teach, and to feel his touch. They are like sheep without a shepherd. And here he is, the great shepherd. And Mark tells us he had compassion for them. And there it is. Perhaps the greatest lesson we learn from our Lord and Savior. One simple word. Compassion. Not pity. Not sorrow, but compassion. If we had to sum up all of Jesus' ministry with one word, this may be the best we could choose. Compassion. From the Latin compassus, to suffer with. It is what Jesus came to do, to suffer with and ultimately for. With every right and reason to move on to another quiet place, Jesus instead stays and has compassion for the people, for his people, teaching and healing and feeding. If we dare to try on the shoes of Jesus, then we too are filled with compassion for the sick, for the lost, for those who have never heard. Regardless of reason, class, color, creed, compassion, all for the sheep who are without a shepherd. So there you have it, the best laid plans, even for the Son of God. Pastor and writer Charles Swindoll once found himself with too many commitments in too few days. He got nervous and tense about it. He writes, "I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down my food at mealtimes and feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions through the day," he recalled in his book entitled Stress Fractures. "Before long, things around our home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up style. It had become unbearable. I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. She began hurriedly, "Dad, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast." Suddenly realizing her frustration, I answered, "Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly." "I'll never forget her answer," he writes. "Then listen slowly." Jesus' plans were thwarted time and time again. In fact, some of the most important ministry took place during those interruptions. And Jesus was always willing to listen slowly. And he still is. While visiting the University of Notre Dame, where he had been a teacher for a few years, Henry Nouwen met an older, experienced professor who had spent most of his life there. And while they strolled over the beautiful campus, the older professor said with a certain melancholy in his voice, "You know, my whole life I have been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted, until I discovered that my interruptions were my work." And so often this was true with Jesus, too. When we find ourselves amongst the crowd, we can find solace in the fact that Jesus has compassion for us. As Jesus' disciples, we find challenge when our priorities don't match up with his, when he makes good use of interruptions with which we would rather not deal. And as the body of Christ in this world, we must have compassion for those on the shore, for it is good and it is right. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.